This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.
And here we go.
There's a drive!
That is Derek's Dimes. Well done, well done.
Swing and a drive!
6'11 and a half, he's an athlete, face-up shooter.
High drive to left field!
I've been hearing that a lot.
He visited here this past weekend. Sounds like it went well.
The drive of the game.
I think if I'm Underwood, I want you to go out and I want you to take every available shot you have.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Well, here we are.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman,
Brad Underwood,
Lovie Smith coming in to join us.
Gee.
Let's go for a little ride.
It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante, Derek Piper, and Isaac Ambrose in today as well. And we're going to utilize Isaac today and take a rip through the NFL. So we'll have to get some sheets printed for that. Do you know how to do that, Isaac? Yeah. All right, he does. So isn't that funny? That's like the most simple thing in the world, yet I'm the guy that doesn't know how to do it. So I'm always like, oh, I bet Isaac doesn't know how. But, of course, he's known how to do that for years. So we'll do that. We're going to talk to Dave Wishnowsky. He covers a lot of the media, or he does a lot of media stuff, kind of some extracurricular. He's kind of like me in a way in the sense that he has a job, like a full-time job, but then he dabbles in the media stuff. So we'll talk to Dave at 4:30. We're going to talk Illinois basketball. I know he's fired up for that. We'll talk Illinois football. He's a guy that you know, he defends a lot of times. He gets mad at Illinois fans for jumping the ship, if you will, if that's the right term, on getting rid of Lovie or doing this, or like if Illinois misses on a recruit and Illinois fans are nuts.
Is he still riding that with Lovie? Still riding it out?
I'll ask him.
All right.
I can't imagine he is, but I'll ask him. So we will talk to Wishnowsky at 4:30. Theo Epstein is gone with the Chicago Cubs. I'm guessing most Cubs fans have heard that already, but he has taken a step back. He's going to take the year off. So he's not leaving the Cubs to go to another team, but he just wants kind of a break, I guess. And I think it was you or Trevor that told me 2 or 3 weeks ago that he has basically on record said every 9 or 10 years a GM should step down and go somewhere else. That's kind of weird to me.
It's a little bit weird.
I mean, if you're having success, then why would you need to step down, I guess?
I don't know. New challenge.
Yeah.
It's worked for him.
Boy, he's kind of been a nemesis for the Cardinals.
Yeah, what the heck?
And we are going to talk Bears, by the way. We'll do that with Dave as well. And we'll talk with Pipes about the Bears.
Great.
But Theo, if you think, I was thinking about this today. You know, the Cardinals had such a great baseball team in 2004. That was the MV3. You had Pujols, Edmonds, and Rowland. You just had a stud core to that team that went on to win, what, 108 games or something? And then you get to the World Series, and you didn't win a game against the Red Sox. They just tore through you. I remember that. I'll never forget game one. I was in Chicago at my buddy Taylor Freeman's house. My brother and I were over there watching the game. And Mark Bellhorn, I think, or it was Bill Miller. I think it was Bill Miller. Hit 2 home runs that day.
They all looked the same.
They
had like these grizzly beards and long hair and just
and they were
scraggly
all
looking dudes.
Switch hitters.
Yeah.
Bill Miller was from St. Louis. In fact, he was recently worked for the Cardinals or still does. But I think one of those guys, and I think it was Miller, hit a home run down the right field line. And you know how the foul pole at Fenway is almost like you almost have to hit a circle. Like your ball almost has to like go to the right, like my slice would, to hit the foul pole, and he did. And he hit the foul pole, and I'm like, you got to be kidding. And I remember that first game, the Red Sox just kept scoring. And then the Cardinals would score. And then the Red Sox would score like 3 more, and I'm like, we're not going to win this game. And so swept the Cardinals, and Theo, of course, was a savior because that was the first World Series title in Boston since, what, 1918 or something similar to that.
Yeah.
Basically, they traded Babe Ruth and then never won again. So then he goes to the Cubs, and, of course, his Cardinals fans were like, oh, crap. Now the Cubs think they're going to just dominate and this and that, and they were horrid.
But even still then, like, just the fact that things just tended to go wrong for the Cubs, the curse was still there.
All right,
you break one, you break the Babe Ruth curse in Boston. You're not going to Chicago and doing that, are you?
You're not breaking the GOAT curse. You can't do that. You can't break the curse of the Bambino and the GOAT. You can't do both those things.
In his first year there, they lose like 103 or 106 games or whatever it was.
And then we find out it was all part of a plan. And I'm not saying that sarcastically. It was definitely part of a tank and rebuild plan. And he made some good choices, obviously. He and Jed Hoyer, I think Theo, though, was the key. And then the next thing you know, 2015 rolls along. They're not supposed to quite be that good. And they beat the Cardinals in that first round series. And then you were like, uh-oh.
We knew it then.
We did.
We knew it then that they were a problem.
Saw the writing on the wall. And I thought, oh, no. Because really, that was the big bad Cardinals against the Cubs. And if you're the Cubs, even though you'd had success in 84, you'd had success with Pryor and Wood. I mean, there's no doubt that those teams, I mean, that Pryor and Wood team that and the Bartman thing, that's a team that should have been in the World Series and probably could have had a great chance of winning it. But again, it just came back to, well, it's the Cubs, and everything goes wrong for the Cubs. So in 2015, and I'll never forget, didn't John Lackey start game one? And we were in Iowa City, Jeremy and I and Mike Carpenter doing the Tay and Jay show right before an Illinois-Iowa football game. We did it at Brothers in Iowa City. We get done with the show, and all the Iowa people were awesome. They were coming up like, where are you guys from? We're like, well, we're a Champaign station. Wow, that's awesome you guys do this. They were buying us beer after the show, and it was great. And then the Cardinal-Cub game started. And, of course, Carp's a Yankees fan. Jeremy's a White Sox fan. I'm a Cardinals fan, diehard. And those two were just kind of – it's so unfair. If your team isn't playing, you can just relax, have a beer, enjoy the game, kind of laugh at what happens, or sit there and try to create anxiety for that person.
Play instigator, for sure.
That's exactly right.
I'm sure Jeremy was doing to you.
Oh, he was the worst at it. And then Carp was just over there like, oh, boy. You know, and Carp was kind of my friend, and Jeremy, was in a sarcastic, funny way, was kind of my rival that day because he'd be like, uh-oh, like the Cubs would get a hit. He's like, uh-oh, and I'm like, stop it. And so that is the game that the Cubs end up winning. No. The Cardinals won that game. And it was a dogfight. And I remember after that game ended, I'm like, oh, my, this is going to be a hard series to win. And then the Cubs end up winning that
series. You still felt like you're a big brother after that win.
Yes. And then, of course, the Cubs get it done to their credit. And then the next year, they end up winning the World Series.
Yep.
And Theo, deservedly, with a ton of praise for getting that done.
100%. You break that curse, 1908 to, what was it, 2016?
Yeah.
Went 2015 NLCS, 2016, obviously made to the CS, then the World Series, win the World Series, come back the next year and get to the CS again. I know that from that point of winning the World Series, you thought, probably as a Cubs fan, you heard it from Cubs fans, or even as a Cardinals fan, you're like, oh, man.
I thought it.
This is going to be a rough window where they're probably going to win again.
Yep, I thought it.
They're going to be in the World Series maybe a couple of times. And for that not to happen, understand the disappointment. And we've sat here the last couple of years and talked about some issues or just not living up to expectations. But, yeah, as Theo leaves, you know that they're going to be thinking of him, you know, for the good times and what he did. And there's no ill will there as he heads out the door with a World Series title.
And this isn't fair because we're Cardinals fans. And what I'm doing through all that, you know, paragraph or novel I just gave you is essentially telling you how Theo was a pest to the Cardinals, and he proved it. And he turned that organization, he turned it around to the point where not only the Cubs organization, but the fans believe now that they can win. And that's not easy to do after so many years of not winning. And then, of course, he goes out and gets Jason Hayward. Then he goes out and he gets John Lackey. And it's almost like, okay, now, Theo, you're just now making fun of us. Like, this isn't fun. You're like, you literally won a World Series, and now you're just picking on the Cardinals.
And you give us Dexter Fowler.
Right. And for a Cardinals fan who wasn't used to that, and I know that sounds arrogant and cocky, but it's a fact. We weren't used to that stuff. And so all of a sudden, it's like the Cubs are better than us. I'm like, this isn't fair. This isn't how it's supposed to be. So I give all the credit to Theo and what he was able to do. And now I agree with you. I thought for sure that this Cubs organization would certainly maybe win multiple titles. And that is just not easy to do. We understand that that is not easy to do. The core is still there. You never know if maybe next year. I mean, let's be honest. This year, they had a pretty good season. I mean, they got off to a red-hot start and then, you know, kind of came back to earth at 500, but still won the division.
Yeah, you did lose at home to the Marlins.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
First round, that's not great.
Eesh. Charles says on the College of Aces text line, that's what I wanted. I want to hear from Cubs fans your thoughts of Theo Epstein, because the last couple of years, I think the invincibility was broken a little bit, where I would hear Cubs fans, friends of mine, kind of taking pot shots at Theo, and I'm like, wow. Like, the Joe Maddon decision, I think, was beautiful, and that ended up winning you a World Series, and then everybody fell really bad on Joe Maddon, and probably deservedly so. Cubs fans follow your team closer than I do, but they were tired of what he did. They were tired of never having the same batting order. All of a sudden, this guy's leading off today, then that guy's leading off tomorrow. And so people just got tired of that, and they wanted normalcy, so they go get Dave Ross. And so it's just, I started to hear a little issues with Theo, but I'd love to hear from Cubs fans at 359-2255. Your thoughts on Theo Epstein. I mean, even Cardinals fans. I loved Walt Jocketty. I was a Jocketty guy. It was before sabermetrics. Walt Jocketty was a guy that looked at somebody, watched somebody, scouted somebody, and said, that's the guy I want. And it worked. And, of course, behind the scenes, the gentleman that got in a lot of trouble in Houston, Jeff Luhnow, who's now out of a job, Jeff Luhnow was just doing work, bringing in all sorts of draft picks that turned out to be really good baseball players.
Jocketty was also willing to make big trades.
He was.
To go get Big Mac, to go get Edmonds, to go get Roland.
Great call. So there's a lot of people that still liked Walt Jocketty. And then, of course, he leaves, and here comes Mr. Bowtie. Here comes Mr. Sweater around his neck, tied in front, John Mozeliak. And it's like, no, hold on a second. This isn't what we want as a GM. And then he goes to four World Series in his tenure, essentially, and wins two of them. And it's like, well, how are we going to rip? Even if early on, let's say, those were Jocketty guys, how are you going to rip Mozeliak for getting to what he got to? But yet now, if you talk to a lot of Cardinals fans, they are really down on him. And for good reason. There's been the Dexter Fowler move, the Matt Carpenter extension, Brett Cecil. Even though, if I look back on it, I would have made the Brett Cecil decision in a heartbeat. He was the number one left-handed reliever in free agency that year, and the Cardinals jumped on him quick. And then Dexter Fowler, you needed a center fielder. He was available. You were taking from your enemy, and you thought, this is perfect. And then, of course, that's turned out to be horrible. Did you know, by the way, Matt Carpenter? Now, I would not have extended Matt Carpenter. That is one thing that I said at the time. I don't like this. Do you know that if he gets 500 or 550 at-bats this year, he gets an option for 22? Did you know that? I read that today.
We can make sure that doesn't happen.
I mean,
we can definitely make sure that doesn't happen.
If Matt Carpenter starts a game this year, I'd be like, that's four at-bats, guys. Let's don't forget, you Jeez. Know, that's four at-bats. But I read that today, and I'm like, no. And they'll make sure that doesn't happen, I would assume. Can you imagine if he came out, hit like 320, hit like 28 homers?
I can't imagine. I honestly cannot imagine. Nope. Not at all.
Okay, Scott and Indy weighed in and said it's past time for Mo to be gone. I didn't mean for this to be. We'll do another day where we rip on Mo.
Right.
But for Theo, I want to hear from Cubs fans. 359-2255, College of Aces text line. Charles said, if Theo never came back to baseball, he would still be, no doubt, first ballot Hall of Famer. He ended the two longest title droughts in sports history at two consecutive stops. They can't write the history of baseball without mentioning Theo. You can't argue with that. I mean, the Red Sox and the Cubs are two of the most storied organizations in baseball, not to mention two of the coolest stadiums in baseball, and both had been on this huge drought, and then Theo comes along and gets it done. That's a pretty amazing.
Yeah, when you mentioned the transition from Jocketty to Mozeliak, there was a nice foundation built there for that turnover to where the Cardinals could still have a lot of success. And I think that you could still see the same thing now with what Epstein leaves, as far as especially the talent in the order.
Yes.
I know that Bryant's time there is running thin unless they're going to resign him.
It's
I'm
a
not
big
expecting
decision.
That. His price probably has come down mm-hmm. significantly with his injuries and his struggles last year, but he found a star in Baez, enough to put him on a cover of MLB The Show. He's going to probably bounce back with his average. And look, I mean, he's tremendous. Rizzo's tremendous.
Contreras
was willing to then spend for pitching because they didn't really have it. Homegrown. Made the move for Chapman, which proved to be absolutely pivotal to have that cheat code in the ninth inning.
John,
I know you had to
John
give
Lester.
Up Gleyber Torres.
Well, right.
Traded for a World Series
it's
ring.
It's all worth it if you win a World Series ring. I tell everybody that. Do not ever look to the past and worry about
that. Have you heard what Mike Vrabel would give for a Super Bowl title?
Oh, in a heartbeat. That's a great analogy right there. You get Yu Darvish. You get John Lester. And John Lester, I know, has had his issues the last 2 years, but John Lester was he was your ace in that 15 and 16 year when he took the ball every 5 days, and then in the playoffs and the World Series, whenever you needed it, he took the ball and went out and gave you a pitching performance that you needed. And
then they had Arrieta.
That's right.
Spectacular for a nice stretch there.
Yeah, he was. That year, didn't he throw two no-hitters in the one season?
Is that right?
I thought. He was unhittable that year. Like, the second half of the season, his ERA was like 0.70 or something. Is that even an ERA? It was 0.70 is how I'm trying to say it.
Yeah.
You're just like, I mean, he was unhittable. You could not touch him. Kyle Hendricks, I mean, Theo's done a great job there. A 217 says, guys, so thankful. It's actually Nick. So thankful to have had Theo. It's so hard to win a World Series, and though we could have won more, let's be honest, we're very lucky to win one. I think anybody will tell you that, except the 04 Red Sox, who just swept the Cardinals and didn't have any problems. I mean, the Cardinals, when they won their World Series the last couple, they were fortunate. There's no doubt things have to happen. I mean, David Freese turned into a robot. Alan Craig was unreal in 2011. When you go back and watch that, Alan Craig, if David Freese wasn't one of the best performances ever in World Series history, Alan Craig would have been your MVP. He homered, by the way, in Game 7 that I think proved to be the game winner. And that was, of course, after Freese doubled to tie it when the Rangers had gone up 2-0 after that incredible Game 6. It's just amazing. You have to be fortunate. Guys that you don't think of have to show up and do special things.
2006, the Cardinals got away with it, starting Anthony Reyes in Game 1, Jeff Weaver, Jeff Supon.
Dream Weaver. Ugh. You remember the Detroit Tigers had 68 errors in that game.
Half from their pitching staff.
Yeah. Brandon Inge had a couple. Yeah. How many times did the pitcher try to throw to third? And Brandon Inge was like parallel to the ground trying to catch things that were right and left of him. And you just sat there going, okay, I'm sorry. This is so lucky. Five-game series. You take care of Maglio. Ordonez didn't do much. You know who killed us that series? Sean Casey,
yep.
Who forever killed us with the Reds.
Reds, of course.
But Sean Casey just absolutely did damage. But I'll never forget, two rookies started Game 1. And I don't know how I got to this off. We're just going down memory lane now. It was
just avoiding Bears talk, which I'm totally fine with. I did think about writing it all piped up, but I didn't have time. Oh. I could definitely do it off the cuff if you need it later in the show.
I want to get to the Bears because I have a couple thoughts. That was so boring to watch last night. And this is, okay, wait. Verlander against Reyes.
Yeah.
That was the two rookies.
Finish the thought.
First time in World Series history, two rookies that ever started a game, I think, or game one at least. Reyes beats Verlander, and all of a sudden the Cardinals are up 1-0 in a game they shouldn't have won. I think 5-4 was the final. Pujols homer to right, I remember in that game. Now back to the Bears. It's not fair that I come from watching the Arizona Cardinals every week. Now, I'll tell you this. The Arizona Cardinal defense in back-to-back weeks has given up over 30 points and I think forced one punt or maybe two. So before I just tell you that I'm all, you know, glitz and glamour over here as an Arizona fan, understand that that defense needs to do a lot of work, and the Bears defense is easily better than the Cardinals. But when you watch what Kyler Murray and that Cardinals offense, which is number one in football, even ahead of the Chiefs, I think, in most categories. When you watch what they do on a weekly basis, and then last night I sat down and watched that Bears game, and I'm just like, oh, my gosh.
It's such an ugly, pathetic brand of football. Oh. It's terrible. And luckily, Illinois won against Rutgers on Saturday, because fans here in Central Illinois that have to watch Illinois on Saturday and the Bears on Sunday, or in some cases Monday, it is absolutely brutal.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even get 150 total yards against one of the worst defenses in football. They didn't know how to handle a third down blitz. Every third down was a zero blitz, stacking the line of scrimmage one-on-one. And they're running go routes and double moves. No hot reads. Bill Lazor has the controls, and they get literally 3 yards in the third quarter. They had four drives and got 3 yards in the third quarter.
How do you do that?
I mean, it's difficult.
You'd think a running back could get 4 yards for you in a quarter.
You'd think. I mean, 13 points and 7 of them came from Cordell Patterson.
Yeah.
Taking one back right after halftime.
Mm.
Nick Foles stinks. He's bad.
He's bad, and then he's turning it over.
Right.
And it's like, okay, either be bad and don't turn it over. At least just be a game manager, if you will. Like, almost like the kid out of Wisconsin that was going to be the starter, or was last year. I can't remember his name. Doan or Cone.
Jack
or,
Cone, yep.
That's it. He was kind of just a game manager, and then they said, well, we want somebody that's a little bit better than that. Although Cone got hurt. But if you're either going to be a game manager or just don't throw interceptions.
Yeah, there were times where pressure came and he didn't know where to go with the football. There were times where he missed early in the game. He misses Anthony Miller over the middle. That's an interception that leads to points, leads to a touchdown by Adam Thielen. And then he had pressure throughout the second half. He avoided it on that one throw again to Miller. I think it was deep that would have actually taken the lead.
Yes.
But he led him too far, and it was a missed opportunity. I think he finished 12 for 20-something.
Yeah.
I guess it was 15 for 26, 106 yards with a pick. QBR 15. 15 out of 100. That's
how does the quarterback
great.
Have? How come a quarterback either has a QBR of like 98 or 15? Like, I don't think anybody ever has like a 50.
I don't know. But Ryan Pace, I'm done.
Yeah.
Matt Nagy, I'm done.
Yeah.
But more so, it goes back to the very, very tip top of your big decisions as a general manager. You hire a head coach who comes from the Andy Reid tree. Mm-hmm. Andy Reid has to sit there, watch that kind of football, and throw up.
Oh, good point. I hadn't forgotten he came from Andy Reid.
You wouldn't know.
I hadn't put that together.
You would have absolutely no clue, because Nagy's offenses, even in 2018 when the team was great, the numbers weren't very good. The last 2 years have been god-awful.
Is it just the quarterback, or is there just zero thought to it?
Well, it's the scheme. It's the offensive line, too, and they didn't address it. Back on Ryan Pace, going into a season, not addressing the offensive line, who actually blocked pretty decently last night. There was some decent chunk yardage in the run game to be had, but you get the quarterback decision just brutally wrong, and you gave up draft capital to get Trubisky. You missed on what's already a surefire Hall of Famer in Pat Mahomes. Deshaun Watson, who's not in a great situation with Bill O'Brien, well, I know he had DeAndre Hopkins, but
would look like a stud in Chicago, though, compared to what you have.
Top 10 defense.
Yeah.
You gave up a draft pick to get Foles, who stinks. Your play caller's terrible. Matt Nagy, you're an offensive guru, quote unquote, and you're not even calling plays anymore. What do you do here? I've laughed because the last few weeks, like, oh, he's a great leader of the locker room. Oh, it's the Mike Matheny.
Yeah, here we go.
How's the locker room when you lost 4 in a row?
Yeah. Here's all I'll say about last night. The Bears started that game 5-3. Is that right?
5-1. And now they're 5-5.
Yeah, but they were 5-4 starting last night, and the Vikings were 3-5. And the Vikings were a 3.5-point favorite in that game. And I'm just sitting there like, wait, this game is at Soldier Field. I know that doesn't matter in COVID necessarily because of the crowd, but certainly you would think even a point difference, if you're at home, you feel the familiarity, you're a little more, although the Vikings have played there plenty. But you have a better record, you're at home, and you're a 3.5-point dog to the Minnesota Vikings. And you go out and you prove it. That's what's really frustrating.
And it's not like Dalvin Cook killed you either.
No.
That defense has got to be just furious, because there's so much talent on that side of the ball. It's just a It's a wasted opportunity, and it just it's so hard to watch.
Yeah.
I have no interest. Basketball has to save me. That's all I got.
I got it. And we got to take a break. I want to get to a couple of College of Aces text line. One on the football. 651 said, boring is the word. That was absolutely dreadful to watch last night. A 217 back to the Cubs said, John Lester's the second best free agent signing in Chicago sports history, second only to Marian Hossa, who certainly was a key cog in some of those cup wins. And Jake and Muhammad, this is interesting. Are the Cubs considered a storied organization just because they've perennially been bad? What have they really given baseball other than a century of losing? I would say that you should be compared more like the Indians than the Red Sox, who at least at one point had superstars. I guess that's a fair argument, and I don't have time to delve into it right now, but I know this, the Cubs have more victories in their franchise history than the Cardinals do. Or is that just man-to-man, like versus each other? I know the Cubs have a better record against the Cardinals. I was thinking the Cubs had more victories in their history than the Cardinals, which doesn't seem possible.
Doesn't seem right.
And maybe that's wrong. Maybe I'm reading it wrong. Maybe I had the stat wrong. Maybe it's just, I know head-to-head, the Cubs have the better record than the Cardinals in their games. And let us not forget 1907 and 08. 1906, 07, and 08.
What a run.
That's four World Series titles. Is that right? Yeah. Four World Series titles. That's pretty good. That, to me, would be a
story.
There's
at least three.
I thought it was... They were in it three straight years. Okay. You're right. They were in it three straight years in 6, 7, and 8. They won two of them. Good call.
That's right, yeah.
So they have three World Series titles in their franchise history. I know over 100 and some years that doesn't seem good, but I don't know. I would call them a storied franchise. Just maybe it is because of the perennial loser. Maybe it is. We'll ask Dave Wisnowski next about that. I like that. I like that question, Jake. That's a great question. All right, if you want to weigh in, a lot of you have 359-2255. Keep your thoughts coming if you're Cubs fans about Theo Epstein. He stepped down today, not going anywhere, just going to take a year off, essentially, and then go from there. Or the Bears. If you got anything you want to add to that, I don't know. Good luck. Dave Wisnowski joins us next. It's The Drive.
Hi, I'm Troy Lands, owner of Lands, Inc. Your heating and cooling system works hard for you all year long to keep you and your family comfortable. That's why it's important to have it maintained and serviced regularly. Our techs are ready to help you with all your indoor air quality, humidity, and filtration needs. Visit LandsInc.com today for specials on a brand new train system for your home and to see for yourself why it's hard to stop a train. At Lands, Inc., our commitment is to you, the customer. I'm Troy Lands, and you can count on my company because you can count on me.
Sarah Champagne is growing. The same quality, the same neighborhood, but a new name, new brands, and new opportunities. Here's Executive Manager Ben Quattrone.
At Sarah Champagne, you're not just a customer, you're our guest. And we're proud to serve the great folks of Central Illinois. Please visit one of our four fantastic locations, and we'll service your current vehicle or help you find your next dream car.
BMW, Buick, GMC, Honda, and Subaru. Visit SarahChampagne.com. That's S-E-R-R-A Champagne.com.
Fighting Illini football is back. And although things will look different this season, one thing remains the same. Game Day Spirit is the best place to gear up to support your Fighting Illini. From apparel to drinkware and everything in between, they have everything you need to cheer on the Fighting Illini this college football season. Visit them at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign or 6th and Green in Campustown. Or shop online 24/7 at GameDaySpirit.com. That's GameDaySpirit.com.
When you make the right decision, it feels good, like picking the perfect accent rug or choosing a good night's sleep over an all-night crime show binge. It feels really good to make the right insurance decision, too. That's why State Farm agent Kurt Lenschow is right here in Champaign-Urbana to help you select the right protection at the right price. Kurt will make sure you understand your State Farm coverages so you'll know what to expect if the unexpected happens. Just call him when you want the real deal. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Things are always changing. Last November, did you put on a mask to go grocery shopping? In 2019, did you have to have an extra budget item for hand sanitizer? Two Men in a Truck is always changing too. We are constantly looking for ways to make moving a better experience. Whether you're moving to Dinosaur, Colorado, Freeway, Tennessee, or Savoy, Illinois, we have multiple solutions to help you with your unique move. Go to twomenchampagne.com and start your estimate. That's a smart move.
Why do people go to PDR Automotive in Urbana? Because they take care of people like you. Angie dropped off her car to get her brakes evaluated. After a serious problem was discovered, they quoted her $2,100 that she would need to fix the problem.
I couldn't afford it, and I told them I better settle up and hope things don't get worse. PDR found a used part, sent off for it, and kept the bill at the original price. Who does that? I can't stop talking about them and have recommended them to people already. They are my new mechanic.
PDR Automotive on Cunningham in Urbana.
Hi, it's Diane Ducey here for my friends at Profile by Sanford. If you're tired of that weight loss roller coaster and you want a solution that works, Profile is made for you. Profile's not a diet or a quick fix. It was developed by doctors and researchers to take the guesswork out of weight loss. Take it from me. I've lost weight. I feel great, and it's simple, and it works. Come on, you can do this. Visit Profile's convenient location on Meyer Drive or visit profileplan.com for details. Tell them Diane sent you. Profileplan.com.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Maybe not yours.
No. A half century?
Even more so. That's scary to think of. All right, it's The Drive with Tay and Piper. Lon Tay, Derek Piper. You just brought up some interesting things, and I want to bring Dave Wishnowski. He is, you know, he's just kind of our all-encompassing Chicago guy. Dave, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, guys. Good to talk to you.
It is absolutely great to talk to you as well, and you're perfect for this segment because we want to talk Bears, we want to talk Cubs and Theo, we want to talk Illinois football, and we want to talk Illinois basketball, and who better than to visit with Dave Wishnowski? Well, I was asking Cub fans to, you know, kind of reminisce about Theo a little bit, and I'm going to ask you to do the same, and then we started talking about the Cubs and Cardinals, and I said, you know, the Cubs are a storied organization, and one of our listeners said, are the Cubs considered a storied organization just because they've perennially been bad? What have they given baseball, blah, blah, blah? So I said, I think the Cubs have won more games in their franchise than the Cardinals have, and I got a couple pushbacks on that, but Piper looked it up, and here we go. The Cubs have an overall record of 11,016 wins and 10,430 losses, 51.4% winning percentage in their history. The Cardinals have 10,948 wins, so less wins, and their 10,091 losses, a winning percentage of 52%. So you wouldn't, it's not that big of a difference. The Cardinals have won, the Cardinals have won 23 pennants, 17 for the Cubs. The difference, of course, Dave, is the 11 World Series titles for the Cardinals, 3 for the Cubs. But, I mean, all that, we'll start there. Would you consider the Cubs a storied organization?
I think you have to. I mean, it depends what your definition of storied is, I guess, some ways. But the Cubs have, I don't know, any organization, honestly, that has more stories than the Cubs do, just when you look at their place throughout the history of baseball and with the, you know, the Billy Goat and Black Cats and all the things that have happened as well, too, I think fit in with the story. And it's one of the, you know, iconic franchises, without a doubt. It hasn't been known as a, it's interesting hearing those stats, but it hasn't been known as a perennially winning franchise, obviously. It's been the opposite. But, yeah, I think you got to call the Cubs a storied organization. I think there's, the Cardinals certainly are, too, but
sure.
There's few, it just hasn't been good stories all the time with the Cubs.
Yeah, and I think especially in the modern era of what we call the modern era, it definitely leans Cardinals because I can think one stretch, and that was the 90s when the Cardinals weren't good, and I can think of a few stretches where the Cubs haven't been good.
So can I.
Sorry, Dave.
But, yeah, I mean, it's the Yankees and the Cardinals up there when you're talking about, you know, just pure winning World Series championships. But I think the Cubs are there with the Dodgers and the Yankees and Red Sox and Cardinals. You know, when you're talking among storied organizations, I think you got to put them in that category.
Dave, Theo Epstein, a big part of that Cubs story, leaving town with a ring. If you told Cubs fans at the very outset of him being hired, if that was the case, obviously 100% approval rate.
Yes.
How will you remember him? Is there a little bit of disappointment that there wasn't more, or just is it all positive? Because, look, he got the job done, mission accomplished, getting the World Series title.
You know, I was texting with my brother about that earlier today, and I said that I think there is a little disappointment they didn't get another ring during that time. I know I am disappointed they didn't win it all again in 2017 or 2018 and couldn't pull one more off. But there's absolutely no disappointment in Theo Epstein's run. I mean, what he achieved, winning that first World Series championship, putting together the franchise that could win it in 108 years, was remarkable. He said it's what he came here to do. He did it. And it's impossible to diminish how meaningful that title was. So I look at his tenure. You know, there's some things like I wish they would have traded for Verlander instead of traded for Quintana in 2017. There's some mistakes that were made, certainly, and some contracts that weren't great at times, too. But you look at the overall, it was an enormous success, and I'll always look at it as a treasured era here. Sure, I would have loved another ring. I still hope the Cubs can get one here again at some point. But overall, it was a rousing success is all I could really classify his era as.
Dave, to delay from talking Bears, I'm going to go one more question on the Cubs and say, how would you analyze just what Theo left there, how close they are to getting back to, I know obviously you win the division, you get the postseason, that's a pretty good season, but in terms of taking that next step and getting back into World Series contention?
It's tough. The Cubs have a lot of question marks right now. I think the sport and the world obviously just have a lot of question marks too. I think Jed Hoyer is inheriting a difficult situation. Part of me thinks that he's going to massively overhaul the roster, but then I look at things too and I'm like, are players really valued right now if you're trading guys away? I don't know. Are we going to have fans in ballparks next season? Is there going to be a full season? There's so many question marks. I also wouldn't be completely shocked if Jed kind of rolled with what you had to start the season at least next year too and see where things go from there. So I think Theo left with a different mindset that Cubs fans now have more of an expectation to be competing and at the top of, in postseason contention, if not actually in the postseason every single year. And he's established that. But also he's left not a great situation overall because they've underperformed the past few years. So Jed's definitely inheriting a mess. But Theo's established a true championship legacy and expectation on the north side of Chicago too.
What's Jed's first move? Is it Chris Bryant? Is that going to be the move that like all eyes are on him?
It's a great question, Lon. And I mean, you look at him face value. Yeah, you got to figure out what to do. But then every guy's still signed right now too. Nothing really has to be decided immediately. So I don't know. I mean, maybe you could get Javi Baez if you think he's a key piece for the future. And you can get them at a more of a bargain rate because I don't think guys are going to get huge contracts this offseason. I honestly don't know. And I think in a normal world, yeah, Chris Bryant would be the first guy. But with this COVID world and so much uncertainty around the court, it's tough to really say what that first move will be.
Here's my first thought of the last 5 minutes with Dave Wishnowsky is that there's two Wishnowskys. He had a brother. Are there more than two? Because I can't imagine being a teacher that had to fill out Dave Wishnowsky and I'd be like, wait a minute, there's another one?
There were just two of us, and we're 4.5 years apart. I'm 4.5 years older, so we didn't overlap in high school. Oof. So they got to catch their breath for a year until my brother came in, and they had to spell the last name again.
Okay, I was going to say, that's like paying for college. You got two kids that are 4 years apart. The teachers are like, oh, no, we don't even get a break. All right, I need your I will not poke fun at the DUI, but I need your take on before and after the DUI news of Tony La Russa. Before we got the news on that, what was your thought on the White Sox getting a guy that's won 3 World Series titles? Yes, he's old. Can he fit in with the new younger crew? And then maybe the news of after the DUI, only because the White Sox knew about that when they hired him.
I found it. It's an enormous gamble. Once his name first emerged, though, I had a feeling that wasn't coming out of nowhere and that he is a strong candidate. Just knowing his friendship with Reinsdorf, I think Jerry's always regretted letting Hawk Harrelson fire La Russa back in 86. And Reinsdorf's at the nearing at his end of days. He wants one last run here. He has the talent to do it. I think he really wants to try and right that wrong. And honestly, if they did know about the DUI beforehand, they say they did. I guess they did. I don't think there was anything really that was going to stop Reinsdorf from giving Tony another chance. my perception on the thing after the DUI is still that it's a huge gamble, and yeah. I think it's an even tougher sell with fans. I feel for White Sox fans right now because you've got this really talented team, and then you've got this manager that you're not excited about, and that's a tough thing to fit those together with that. I know I was frustrated with Joe Maddon a lot towards the end of his Cubs tenure, and it can be difficult when you're really rooting for the team, but you're also frustrated with the manager in some ways too. So I don't know how that's all going to work out. I have a feeling it's not going to work out great, but we'll see. We'll see where it goes from here. It's a big risk, but I don't think Reinsdorf really cares. I think if it doesn't work out, I think he'll be at peace with it because he gave it a go with the guy he wanted to give it a go with again.
All right, Dave, the Bears. what the heck did we watch last night? I mean, that's pitiful. Absolutely pitiful.
Yes. I mean, I don't know. They were never that good. You know, when they were 5-1, that was just a mirage. I think everyone could see that, but yet they were winning. Sometimes it happens. You just keep pulling games out and figuring out things, how to keep winning games. But this is a mess right now. I honestly wouldn't be shocked, and I think maybe it would be justified if they made changes at the top during this bye week here because it's just going the wrong direction. You know, Nagy gives up play calling. Lazor didn't look any better with that. What more can they really give up? Foles is injured. He wasn't looking good anyway. Is Trubisky coming? Can he come back in? You know, the whole thing is just, it hasn't gone in the right direction. It's really, it's rough for Bears fans. You have this a defense that I think is a championship quality defense. It looks like they're squandering again because the Bears, just as an organization, cannot figure out the offensive side of the football. It just seems like every year it's that way.
I know as a Bears fan, you worry about the very top of the organization being willing to make a move when it's clear they need to make one. Do you think that, what chances would you imagine that Ryan Pace just cut it off there? Obviously, new coach, new GM, and that's your offseason.
It's possible there will be. I think it's going to be interesting. Does Pace feel like how much of his job is in jeopardy? Does he need to make a move with the coach? And where do we stand with that right now? I said on Twitter a couple weeks ago that I have a feeling the Bears will never really win again until there's new ownership. Hmm. Not to knock the McCaskies as cheap. I don't really think that's the case. I just don't think that they've ever had, they have as much motivation and urgency to win as they could. I just think they're kind of a comfortable ownership group. They may speak that they really want to win again and urgent to do it, but it's just there's something wrong there because an organization in a city like Chicago that's as good an NFL city as there is in the country and with the ability you should be able to bring in talent here for one Super Bowl championship, and it's been so long since that now too, it really is inexcusable. It's tough to see them getting the ship righted though. I don't know. They don't have the right people in place right now. I just don't think they do in any role really at the top.
And by the way, the only reason I laughed when you brought up the Bears is because as a Cardinals fan, I've had many more years than you guys of struggling. So I know what it's like when all of a sudden, all right, Dave, 5 wins right now. How many do they win this year, you think? Ballpark.
That's a good question. I'll go with 2 more they pull out somehow.
Okay.
That might be generous.
Yeah.
I'll go with it.
They'll be on the right side, Derek. The infamous Lante right side of the Fox when they pull up in like week 12 or 13 and they say, here's who's in the hunt. And over on the right side, where the Cardinals have perennially been, there'll be the Chicago Bears. Like, well, they're 6-whatever.
They're a scorching 5-1 start.
It's like, no! All right, real quick, before we get Illinois, Bulls, 4th pick in the draft tomorrow night. Derek wants Obi. Obi Toppin? Is that how you say it?
I'm biased, yeah. I got a Dayton bias.
Well, yeah, with Jay, that's true. That's a good point. But I think he'd be great. Who do you see? Where do you see the Bulls going there at number 4?
I can see that with Toppin. I mean, I think it'd be interesting if, and I haven't really heard much about a buzz of them moving up, but I know people are high on Ball also, and it'd be interesting. I'm excited about them having Billy Donovan and seeing what he can do with the organization. I do feel like the Bulls are an organization that finally has shaken things up there and may have some of the people getting in place to actually take a step forward. I don't really have a preferred pick with it, but I do think there's some intriguing guys. I think Toppin is one of those that would be there almost surely at 4, and I'd be curious to see what he'd look like in the red and black.
A couple more here for Dave Wishnowski. Illini football get their first win. Isaiah Williams set a program record for rushing as a quarterback with over 190 yards. I guess two-part question. Is there a decision in your mind as far as who should start at quarterback this week? And maybe where are you at overall with Lovey? I think you know where the majority of the fan base is sitting right now.
Yep. As for a quarterback situation, personally, I'd go with Brandon Peters as the starter. I love Isaiah's ability. I think he's an absolute incredible runner. I do think he needs to show more accuracy with his passing to really be given the keys completely to being a quarterback. And he's got time as well, too, hopefully, that he can develop the passing game. I don't think Peters did anything, looking how good Wisconsin did against Michigan, sure, to really you take his job away from him because of the COVID test and everything. I'd go with Brandon as the starter. I'd have Isaiah ready to come in if Brandon struggles. I'd also try and get Isaiah involved if Brandon plays well. And I think that Illinois is going to have to pass the ball better to have a chance to win some of these games on the stretch. And I think that staff needs some wins, too. So I suspect that Peters will be the guy that they go forward with. As for where Lovey's at, he needs wins. It's not looking good right now at all, but it wasn't looking good last season when they were 2-4 either. So I think, yeah, you still got to let the season play out a little bit more. But this staff in year 5 here has to show more than they've shown so far to really deserve another season beyond this. So we'll see what happens the latter half of the season right now. It's a weird season, too, as everything is. Yeah. But currently they're not cutting it, and they got to cut it here big time and make some points that really prove they deserve more time.
I'm giving Piper the last question with Illinois basketball. But on that, Dave, I always give you credit. Sometimes I don't like what I read on your Twitter, but I give you credit because you show patience more than probably most should or definitely do. And I'll always give you the credit because last year you showed patience and Lovey and kind of rewarded you with wins and shocked the rest of us with wins. So I'll always give you that patience. I am more of a reaction guy. That's obvious.
And I see
us barely beating the worst team in the Big Ten on a last second field. And I'm just like, I'm just ready for something new. But is that always the answer? This scares me, Dave, because I thought Lovey could come in and really have more of an impact than he has, and he really hasn't.
I thought so, too. I like to hire a lot when he has. I am more of a patient. I think people think I'm more pro-Lovey than I am. I'm more pro-patience, really. And I thought the Beckman-Mike Thomas era was an absolute disaster, and I thought he inherited a really bad program. He'd get things turned around more quickly than he has, and it's not looking like things are turned around at all right now. But I think, personally, you also have to look. Yeah, it's been a terrible start of the season. They also have lost personnel from COVID. They have lost their starting quarterback. They've used 4 quarterbacks in 4 games. I think you got to let the season play out before you condemn it. The season looked over at 2-4 last year, and it turned out not to be. So I am more of that patient side of things. But right now, it's not trending in a good direction for Lovey at all. Yeah. You know, there's no doubt about that.
Well said.
Ending on a high note here, Dave. Here we go. Illinois basketball starts next week. I cannot believe that is even a true statement. Where are you setting the bar of expectation? What do you like? Maybe what concerns you a little bit?
My expectations are sky high, guys. I mean, really, I don't want to say that I expect them to do this, but I think that they're going to win a Big Ten championship, and I think they're going to go to a Final Four. I think they have a great chance of doing that. I really feel like this team can do that, and I think they could win the national championship potentially. I'm excited. Every 15 years, Illinois goes to the goes to the Final Four. Goes to the Final Four. So they're due this year, and I love this team. I'm ecstatic about the roster they've got coming back. I think Io's the best closer in the league. I think you've got Kofi, the best closer, best big man in the league, and among the best in the nation. Things I'm concerned about a little bit, seems like there's a few nagging injuries out there that could be a little bit worrisome, and just the uncertainty around the season at all. Just, you know, will someone get COVID? Will things be thrown askew? Will the season not go off without a hitch? Does something weird happen? But just pure talent-wise, and I think attitude and chemistry among this team, sky has to be the limit this year. This really could be a special season. I wish fans could be there to see it in person, too, but at least we can watch it on TV.
We have to live through Piper, who will be there to cover the game. That's hope. We have to.
Absolutely.
Well, we hope, right. I winced when you said Final Four, and I don't know why. It's my Illinois reaction in me. But I'm with you 100% on that. And the other thing is, for the last time ever on these airwaves, will that stat be thrown out about every 16 years? I don't want to jinx it. I just don't want to jinx it, Dave.
I know what you mean. I understand. I have a good feeling about this season, though, guy. I mean, just Io's a special player. Kofi's unlike anything we've seen at Illinois. And it's just COVID's been both a blessing and a curse, I think, because we have those guys good back. Call. You know, they wouldn't be if not for COVID. But also, we were robbed of last year's tournament, too, which could have been special as well. So I'm just excited. I hope we get the season's going to happen. I just don't know how many starts and stops there are going to be. There's going to be a tournament. I'm confident about that.
Yes.
I just don't know how it's all going to go on the route to that this year. We'll just have to see and keep our fingers crossed.
Hit a couple of shots, and I think Illinois is going to be in great shape. Dave Wishnowsky, it is always fun to catch up. We don't do it enough, and you always bring the goods on everything that is Chicago and also Illinois. You're a proud alum of the University of Illinois, a proud supporter of the P-Wall in the horseshoe, and that's something to be proud of, Dave. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely, guys. Anytime. We'll be back in the horseshoe at some point.
Like, yes. Right? Yes, we will. I promise you. Dave, thanks again, buddy.
I'll talk to you later, guys.
All right, man. Dave Wishnowsky's been a friend of our show for 10 years, and I'll never forget, Jeremy Warner's the one that brought him in, and I'm like, how do you say that last name? And Derek, now that you've worked with me for almost 2 years, you know my preparation. It means coming in, grabbing a water, sitting down, making sure I got everything, looking up. We got 15 seconds before. I normally look at you and go, what do you want to start with? And then all of a sudden that day I looked down and I saw this name. And I'm like, what? How do I say that? And here we are 10 years later. I now know he's got a brother. There's two Wishnowskis out there. He came down one time and did the show with me.
Did he really?
It was when they were doing, what was the challenge where you had to dump the water on your head? That was for ALS, I believe.
That's right, yeah.
Great challenge, and I think that raised a lot of money for ALS. And I don't know what happened, but nobody could be here for a show on a Friday, and I just reached out to Dave. Wow, I didn't know we had this. I had no idea we had Will Smith getting jiggy with it. Oh, this is Miami, isn't it? Getting jiggy with it. Or is that the same thing?
I'm ashamed to not know the title of the song.
Miami.
Yeah.
Miami's the title. Right. He's got another song called Getting Jiggy With It, right? Yeah, I think he does. Isaac's going to look that up. We'll confirm that when we begin the next hour. But yeah, Dave came down, did the show with me. It was fun. It was fun to get a chance to meet him, and I've seen him a few other times around Illinois football games, which is always great. We got to get him out to the tailgates more often. All right, when we come back, Isaac Ambrose is going to help us. We're going to recap the NFL Week 10. Somebody brought up a good thought here. Can the Bears get Harbaugh? I want to ask Derek Piper, is it just because of the name, or would you actually take a guy like Jim Harbaugh, who did have some success? The song's going to end early, and I hate it for Will Smith and everybody else out there that loves Will Smith. Harbaugh had some success in the NFL. I want to look and see what his success was, but would you take him as a Bears coach? We'll do all that next. It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.